We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on this MLB opening playoff Tuesday. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to hit us up there with a comment. Got some thoughts about the Braves and how you think this three-game series will go. Hit us up there. Of course, we ask you to download the Radio.com app because, well, we know that you're not in the car as often, not spending as much time in your vehicle, but you want to listen to this station, to this show. How do you do it? Simple. Download the Radio.com app. Put that on your device. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet, your boombox, your Casio watch, your Nikon camera, your Epson printer. I don't know what you have for a device, your Palm Pilot. I don't know. Whatever your device is, just download it onto something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show, that would be through our personal Twitter handles. Hit me up. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown producing the show. He'll ask the questions later on tonight for Rankum. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our buddy Kurt Heelan coming up in the next segment as we get ready for NBA Finals action with the Miami Heat and with the LA Lakers as they'll get cranked up tomorrow. As we said, we got our first champion in professional sports in North America with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now we'll go for number two as the NBA Finals get cranked up and get going. Then they'll take their break. They'll have all their off-season stuff and get ready. It'll be what, first part of, it sounds like right now, according to Adam Silver, it's going to be first part of next year. I think they were hoping to play sometime in December. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. I think they were hoping to play maybe toward Christmas. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. For whatever reason, I'm not 100% sure I understand why they can't play in December, but it looks like now it's going to be first part of next year before they're ready to play. So whatever it's got to take, right? Watch some playoff baseball, by the way. Always crazy how playoff baseball works, right? The best pitcher in Major League Baseball has already given up 3 runs in, I can't read what that inning is. Is that the third inning? Yeah, third inning. Is it third inning, Jarvis, in the Yankees game? Yeah. Yeah, it's the bottom of the third. So in 3 innings, Shane Bieber, who is without question, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, been the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, has already given up 3 runs to the Yankees. And they're that kind of team. When they're healthy and they got everybody there, they can mash it all around. So we'll don't forget, tomorrow at noon, we'll have all your Braves coverage here. And, of course, we're going to have Gabe Burns on tomorrow night, so we'll get instant reaction to what the Braves look like. And, obviously, we'll know tomorrow morning what their playoff roster for this first series is going to look like. But speaking of another disappointing Atlanta team, that, of course, would be the one of the teams that plays in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Both teams very disappointing at this point. That's why we hope the Braves can get it done, because not a lot to root for right now with Atlanta United, and certainly not with the Atlanta Falcons, as they get ready for the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football. Now, every pundit in America, right, has had their 2 cents about fire Dan Quinn, do this, do that, all these kinds of things. And what do we always talk about here on this show? The Peter King factor, right? Peter King, when he gets on and starts talking all around the NFL, knows more than anybody out there about the whole landscape of the NFL. But when you get down into the micro and minutia, let's say, of the Atlanta Falcons, okay, we know more than than Peter King does, because we live it, breathe it, cover it every day, watch every single play, and are heavily involved in it. So we understand the minutiae here. So, of course, you know, coaching firings and coaching movings are always going to be a hot topic. I want you to listen to Pro Football Talk's, what is it, Jarvis podcast or radio show that they do, or it's like PFT Live. I don't know if it's on, I assume it's on TV. But it's Mike Florio and it's Chris Sims. And they're talking about the Atlanta Falcons and Dan Quinn and should there be moves and stuff like this. Here's what Mike Florio had to say about the Falcons and the dilemma that they're in.
Just something that feels broken, that there's only one way to fix it. The problem is, do you fix it by making Dirk Cutter the head coach? Do you fix it by making Raheem Morris the head coach? All these guys are part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is making one of them the head coach going to all of a sudden help the team not blow big leads? I don't know, but I feel like at some point, Arthur Blank's got to do something.
Well, so to Mike's point, you know, he is correct about a lot of things, and he is asking the right questions. Is something broken with the Atlanta Falcons? Yeah. Yeah, and frankly, I think it's broken beyond repair if we're talking about the big term success. And actually what's funny is Chris Sims goes on to say in that a little bit late, because they talked for, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes about the Atlanta Falcons. Chris Sims goes on to talk about how if you look at the Falcons schedule, same thing Mort was talking about, that there's a lot of winnable games. You got the Panthers and this, that, and the other. There's plenty of winnable games that are on the schedule. But he's right to ask, you know, what do you, yes, is Dirk and Raheem and Dan, yes. But see, again, the time to do that was in January. And I'll say, and I touched on this late last night, and I'll say it more for our bigger audience, that in some ways it's like the Braves. You know, I always talk about with the Atlanta Braves that their organizational DNA, as long as John Schuerholz and Terry McGuirk and all those guys that have been there for decades and part of all of the underachievement, and yes, it's underachievement, miss me with your division titles and all that. It's about the world. Look back now at history. The Braves aren't looked at as the same way as the Yankees and such like that, because of only winning the one World Series. People talk about all their personnel, but they're not looked at the same way as the Yankees or anything of that ilk. And history has shown that now. So as long as you have all of those guys that have been the DNA, then the organization is going to be like it is. It's the same thing with the Falcons. Firing Dan and promoting Dirk Cutter or Raheem Morris to coach solves nothing. The only thing that it gives is it gives the fan base a pound of flesh. It's like the sharks that are swimming around in the ocean and you just start shoveling some chum into the water for them to feast on and get riled up about, and they have their pound of flesh at that point. But does it solve it? Does it make us a Super Bowl contender? Nope. Does it salvage this year? Nope. Is the franchise in the right direction then? Nope. You just satisfy a primal urge, right? Firing Dan is akin to grabbing your slump buster, right? You've had a bad stretch, so you go to the bar, okay? And you're feeling a little bit lonely, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you couldn't get any of the 10s, so you try to find a couple of 5s. And see what can happen. That's the Falcons right now. And that's why I don't think that we, like I said, unless the bottom really, listen, they're 0-8 or something like that. Okay, I think Arthur will be forced to make a move. It would be ridiculous at that point. They won't have a choice but to make a move at that point, okay? But let's say they're 3-5 after 8 games. I bet you Arthur doesn't make a move. Is your season in any better stead? Nope. And see, that's been the and this is why I say they have to clean the entire organization out. The worst thing that has happened with this franchise has been the foolery of the 7-9 from last year. The evaluation. And I don't know at this point if that's because as Arthur has gotten a little bit older and maybe he just doesn't want to have to start over. And he's like, look, I've paid all this money to Matt and Julio and Grady and Debo and Jake and Mac and this and that. I want a return on it. I don't want to have to go through and try to do this again. And I'm with Arthur from the standpoint of not blowing up the roster, but you have to blow up the front office. And that includes Thomas, Rich, Dan, coaches, everything. And hit the reset. Now, what sucks about that is maybe you lose another 1 or 2 years, but that's why that should have happened last year, and that process have started last year. We talked last night on the show. Skip this year's draft, skip last year's draft, where we don't have enough info on it. You look at the drafts of 15, 16, 17, 18, of the 7 first and second round picks, 7 players that they draft in the first or second round, only 2 of those guys are going to see a second contract. And not because they've priced themselves out of the market, not because they're too much money. No, it's because they're not worth giving a second contract to. It's not worth putting out a whole bunch of money to Beasley, Jalen Collins, Tack McKinley, Keanu Neal, Isaiah Oliver. Those guys aren't worth giving a bunch of second-year contract money to because that's what everybody wants to cash in. So Florio is right to ask the questions, but the problem is he's also right in the sense that simply firing Dan and promoting Dirk doesn't do anything. And they go 0-4, forget it. There is no recovery. There's no recovery now. Nothing tells you about this franchise. Can this franchise play with every team in the NFL? Yeah. And I've heard Nick Cale, he's filling in for Andy the last couple of days on the station, and he's talked about how the Falcons need to learn how to win. The Falcons know how to win. Why do I say that? Because the guys that were here for the Super Bowl and divisional playoff round, you know, Matt's still here, Julio's still here, Jake's still here, Mac is still here, Debo's still here, Grady's still here, Rico's still here, Neil's still here. All of those guys were part of that Super Bowl and then divisional playoff team the year after. It's not that they don't know how to win, but we've created a culture where one is we can't overcome our coaching. We can't, unfortunately, we're not able right now to out-talent our coaching. And they've taken on the playing personality of being unclutch, which, frankly, was the DNA of their coach. They just didn't know it. You know, remember, in 16, that's Dan's second year. Now we're 5 years into this thing. And you've had a coach that's coached a team that has had 3 5-game losing streaks in 5 years. Because now they've adopted the DNA of what their coaches are. And that's what's happened to them. They've absorbed all of the DNA. Dan couldn't coach in 15. He didn't coach in 16. But they were good enough still that they hadn't soaked up the DNA of their coaches to where they could get through this. Now they can't. And it's why I fuss at the Braves front office with Snitker and everything else. Because you have to prove to me. You have to prove to me that they can overcome all of that. They have to overcome what the reputation and what the DNA of their organization has been. What is the DNA of the Braves organization? Failure in the playoffs, right? Does somebody want to argue that with me? That the DNA, the thing that they are looked at the most, is lots of talent that didn't win enough? Well, what are the Falcons? Lots of talent that can't figure out how to win. Well, that's their coach. And that's why nothing they do now will change. But if Arthur doesn't hit a massive reset in the offseason, then they are going to waste Matt, Julio, and everybody else. And it's really going to be a shame to watch. All right, when we get back, Kurt Heelan from Basketball Talk is going to join us as we get ready for the NBA Finals. We'll talk to him and get this preview going. This is John Chuck Show, hanging out on this opening playoff Tuesday. Sports Radio 929 The Game on the radio.com app. All right. Sports Radio 929 The Game, welcome back into the John Chuck Show, hanging out with you on this opening MLB playoff Tuesday. As we get ready for Braves baseball tomorrow at noon, don't forget we'll have Gabe Burns on tomorrow night. We'll get instant reaction. Yankees beating up the best pitcher in Major League Baseball this year, in Shane Bieber. Of course they would. I mean, why wouldn't the Indians choke in the playoffs? And that's what they do. That's their DNA as well, to choke in the playoffs. How many World Series can they give away in one lifetime? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Anyway, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Radio.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, lots going on in the NBA as the bubble will be coming here to a end as we get ready for NBA Finals, but obviously still some other stories going along with it. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our buddy Kurt Heelan joining us, of course, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. As always, Kurt, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes tonight here in Atlanta.
Thanks for having me on, man.
So before we get into the finals preview, I want to talk about this Doc Rivers story because, you know, I understand Doc's popularity and how much people like him and things like that. And trust me when I tell you, in Atlanta, we're fighting this, you know, talent with expectations things and it not living up to things. You know, I give Steve Ballmer credit, and maybe he doesn't deserve it, but, you know, when you go out and you make those kinds of moves to your franchise and it doesn't deliver, somebody has to have accountability. You're not cutting all the players. So, I mean, with all due respect to Doc and the front office and all this kind of stuff, I think they had to do something, Kurt. I mean, what say you?
Yeah, they needed to do something to shake this up. The challenge with doing it to the coach, and by the way, you're putting credit in the right place. I'll just tell you that this is a Steve Ballmer on down decision. Sources I knew in the organization, and I'm not alone by this. I was told he wasn't going anywhere. Like, his job was safe, and I know that's been reported by other people too. Like, it's just, it surprised us, but that's because this was a Ballmer on down decision. It's a risk. The challenge with replacing a coach is, who do you got that's better? And players like Doc Rivers, he's won a championship. He's a motivator of men, but do they need a different voice to advance? You know, they're going to be doing this next year with pretty much the same roster. They're kind of locked in. I mean, they could make some really aggressive moves, I suppose, but most likely we're going to see pretty much the same Clippers. So what can you do to shake it up? And maybe this works.
Kurt, I don't want to take away from what the Miami Heat have done, because they've been outstanding, and you have to give them a lot of credit. But maybe as an outsider, do we look at this as that the Eastern Conference had one really dynamic team and everybody else, frankly, was kind of at the same level? I mean, if you say that Milwaukee with Giannis and everybody, they really had an outstanding season. But once you take them away, that the rest of the East really is a coin flip. I mean, I don't want to take away from what Miami's done, but I don't know that I would tell you that Miami is any better than anybody else that you could have thrown out in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I don't think they were necessarily better than Toronto or Boston, you know, the next couple teams in that list. I think they probably were better than the Pacers at the end of the day. That said, what Miami was and what Miami is, what one of the things that gives them a chance in these finals is they're mentally tough. They are mentally tougher than anybody else. The Bucks just wilted. There were all sorts of reports about them not being happy in the bubble. They clearly played like it. This team just didn't adjust and adapt. The two mentally toughest teams, and teams with, like in Miami's case, a strong culture and a strong leader in Jimmy Butler, and you can say certainly the same about any team with LeBron James on it. That dynamic took them as far as everyone knew. The Clippers were still a better team on paper, but they were, I think we can safely say, not tougher mentally than the Lakers. And I think that in the isolation and the basketball-heavy environment with no escape of the bubble, it took a certain kind of team to get through.
Kurt, you mentioned Jimmy Butler. I mean, we've seen some of the younger guys in the NBA that have really broken out and started to really kind of make a name for themselves. But Jimmy Butler has gotten a lot of love, and deservedly so, on this. How much do you think his reputation has kind of grown? Because it's kind of funny now to think about, man, he was with that 76ers team a couple of years ago, and you start there scratching your head saying, how'd they not win more or this, that, and the other? But he's been dynamic, and it feels like he's a guy who people around the country have really gravitated to how good of a player he really is now.
He had a reputation, and there were teams that didn't go near him this year because he's not easy to deal with. He is very demanding of himself, of the organization, of other players. That fit in with the Miami Heat culture in a way it, let's safely say, did not in Minnesota, did not in other organizations. He kind of found a home, and frankly, he's not a guy for every place, and I don't think there's one way to build an organization and one style. You know, Tim Duncan style is different than Kobe Bryant style, and you could win that way. But Jimmy needed to find a home. That said, you mentioned he was in Philly. Save for a Kawhi Leonard four-bounce crazy shot from the corner, maybe they're in the finals last year. And certainly in Minnesota, the only time they've been to the playoffs in the last 16 years is when Jimmy Butler was there. He makes guys better. He wins. The guy just will do whatever is needed on the court and pushes guys off of it to win, and it works.
Lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com, Kurt Helin, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's just, listen, I grew up 20, 25 minutes from where LeBron. LeBron James is from Akron, Ohio. I'm from Canton, Ohio. I went to college at Akron University up there. So, I know all about the backstory of LeBron. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it is still just kind of funny that, and I know you and I talked about this, you know, even before, you know, this playoffs really got started and all this kind of stuff. And we were asking about, you know, are people still going to hate on LeBron? It really is fascinating that more people, and I think I hate to say it this way, Kurt, that a lot of people just, they attach LeBron's politics immediately to his basketball and can't separate the two. But there's no question about the fact that a guy that's as good as he is, the dynamic that he brings to an organization, and I know they loaded up with guys around him, but you can't deny like what this guy can do to an NBA franchise in today's league.
Well, yes, they loaded up with talent around him. Nobody, not Jordan, not and nobody wins without other talent around them. The league's too good.
Right.
You can't do it on your own, right? His ability to lead that team, though, and, I mean, you think back again to the Lakers and what he can do on the court. By the way, at age 35, the only comps are like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain, Karl Malone, guys didn't play this late and be this good. It's a freak thing. But he's also become such a leader personality-wise. Remember, the Lakers were in China when Daryl Morey's tweet landed, and they were stuck in the middle of that controversy that they did not start. They were they had to go through the entire Kobe Bryant tragedy. There was a lot on this team's plate this year, and we're not talking about the normal Laker soap opera this year, were we? Like, LeBron was really able to take a team with JaVale McGee and Dion Waiters and Rajon Rondo, and this was an island of misfit toys team, and bring them together. It's an impressive bit of leadership on and off the court.
Kurt, certainly some very interesting matchups in this finals. I like this Anthony Davis versus Bam matchup. We know how good Davis has been out there. What are some of the things we need to watch for as these two teams get ready to lock up tomorrow night?
Well, clearly the biggest storyline is a former player of one team coming back in the finals to get revenge on them in the form of Dion Waiters, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that, hey, Bam and Anthony Davis is one of the most fun parts, but I think that there are other things to watch. Can Miami Heat shooters, they can't get cold this series. They did a little bit last series. They're going to have to shoot lights out against them. How do the Lakers defend? I mean, how do the Lakers attack that Heat zone? There's things that should work for them, but at the end of the day, the Heat are going to pack that back and try to make the Lakers jump shooters. I'll tell you one other thing to watch, which nobody wants to hear. These are two teams really good at drawing fouls, and they are going to put the referees in a tough position night after night. These are two teams that go to the rim and intentionally hunt fouls. It's going to put the officials in tough spots in games, and there's going to be a lot of complaining about that, but I think part of that is just the nature of the teams that are there.
Does Miami have to really be careful, too, with Davis and Howard, that they don't let those guys dominate the rebounding edge?
Yes.
It feels like that the Lakers have a real edge in this thing, and that's one of those things, both offensive and defensive rebounding, that if Miami's not careful, they could get really crushed on that.
Offensive rebounding in particular. The Lakers have grabbed 29.7% of their missed shots, which for the record is the average over the course of an NBA season is, I believe it was less than 22% this year. You get one out of five, maybe. The Lakers are grabbing about 30% of them, and that's just leading to second-chance points, and their offense is too good when you throw in the transition points. The Heat have to slow them down. They have to keep them off the boards. They're going to really have to execute. Look, it's Pat Riley's team, right? Like, if Pat Riley should just walk in the room and write no rings, no rebounds, no rings, on the whiteboard, like he used to do for Magic and the Kareem and Group Company, because it absolutely applies again.
Kurt, last thing for you, 30 seconds, very short answer. Who you got?
I have the Lakers in six. I think the Heat present some challenges, but at the end of the day, LeBron's going to figure out the puzzle, man, and there's just nothing the Heat can do about it.
How does the bubble affect things? I mean, with no crowd advantage, we've seen, you and I joked about the fact that it sounded great that Portland went out and won game one, but it's not like they got a chance to go back home and feed off the energy of a crowd, and the Lakers just rolled right through them.
I think that hurts Miami a little, but I think, like I said, the two teams that are there are the two mentally toughest teams. I think they're the two teams who have dealt with this better than anybody else, so I don't know that it's going to be as big an impact. But if you're the team that's, you know, if you're Miami and you're down 2-1 and you're not playing that game four at home, that's where you start to miss it.
Right. Follow him on Twitter, @BasketballTalk, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Kurt Helin joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Kurt, always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes here as we get ready for NBA Finals. Always appreciate the time, buddy. We'll be talking to you soon.
Anytime. Thank you. Take care. Be safe.
You got it. When we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chukri. We'll get to all of that next. The Indians trying to come back in this thing a little bit. We'll see what they can do. Chukri Show, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 on the Game. Back with you on the John Chukri Show. Hanging out on this opening playoff night. Three games in the books today. Astros come back and beat the Twins 4-1. White Sox beat the A's 4-1 as Giolito was terrific in that game. Had a no-hitter going into the seventh today. Jose Abreu hit a massive home run. And Ian Snell, he was terrific. 5 2/3, no earned runs, 9 strikeouts. See, this is what you got to have, right? I'll say this about Houston, By the way, 404-741-0929, radio.com app, at 19 on the game, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. We'll get to what's bugging Checker in a minute. So we got to have, you know, Giolito's been their ace, stepped up big today. Blake Snell stepped up big today. Garrett Cole's been not great, but good enough today. I don't know what Dusty Baker was doing with Zach Greinke. He had 79 pitches in four innings and only a run, and they yanked him and went to their pen. Now, they ended up coming back to win, but it's like, man, you got to ride your starters in this thing. Got to ride your guys. That's your best, you know, and especially in the three-game set, man. I mean, you know, the Yankees have put five runs up on the best pitcher in the American League. He's still out there. He's still my best option. I got to wait for my offense to come back. They got one back the last inning. They homered, made it a 5-2 game. But I got to stick with my guys. I was surprised that Dusty, I don't know why he pulled Greinke after four. I mean, I didn't follow up. Maybe he had a blister. I don't know. But, man, I don't know. I don't know why he pulled Greinke, his ace, after four innings. Remember, they don't have Verlander anymore. You know, he's out for the whole year. Of course, Garrett Cole's moved on to the Yankees. How about they had those three guys last year? They had Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Zach Greinke. How about that threesome to go out there and go get it done? Whew. Crazy. So Indians and Yankees are the final game, 5-2 Yankees. Of course, tomorrow it all starts. And what is, frankly, at least on paper, you know, the best pitching matchup of not just tomorrow, but I think the best opening matchup that we'll have in these playoffs is tomorrow with the Reds and the Braves with Max Fried and Trevor Bauer. I think without question, maybe Yu Darvish in the mix there somewhere, but the number one, number two guys in the National League as far as who's going to win the Cy Young this year. I think it's pretty simple that it's Fried or Trevor Bauer. Now, I think Trevor Bauer is going to win it because he led the league in ERA, led the league in strikeouts. You look at how dominant he was the pitcher of the month in the National League in September. And I think that with even though his record is not all that good, I think had Max have not missed those starts that he did and maybe picked up a couple more wins, then maybe Fried, you know, wins the thing. But I think with the time miss and stuff like that, I think Bauer's going to win it. Fried was unbelievable. You know, until he made that last start where he gave up those two home runs, that was only two home runs he gave up the whole year. The whole year. I mean, he did to baseball offenses what Nick Markakis does to every other pitcher, and that is can't hit a ball out of the ballpark. I mean, Max Fried only gave up one more home run than Nick Markakis could hit for the whole year. Where is he hitting tomorrow, Jarvis? Where are they hitting Cakes at tomorrow? With the righty on the mound? Where's Cakes hitting tomorrow? Cleanup? They moving him up to the four spot? Huh? Where's he hitting at tomorrow? Oh, what was the tweet that I got over the weekend? And we'll get to what's bugging Chuck right here in just a second. I gotta pull this tweet up from this was like from Saturday or something like that. Because the guy said people owe Chuck Ree an apology. And let's see here if I can find that tweet, because it was actually rather funny. It was about Nick Markakis and his wins above replacements. I'm looking here for just a second here if I can find all of this. Let's see. Nick Markakis is a minus 1.0 F WAR since the start of September, the worst in baseball. His F WAR, which, you know, WAR is the wins above replacement on the season, is now below Ender Inciarte. And somebody tweeted out, some people owe JMCH316 an apology. And I, of course, responded back that the list on that is quite long. Anyway, So, yeah, we'll see what the Braves have going on tomorrow. But got to find a way maybe to manufacture some runs. I mean, you're not just going to go up there and bombs away on a guy that's, you know, struck out the entire world. And listen, you know, he's going to try to make as many outs without contact. I mean, that's how you go after a Braves offense is you don't allow them to put the ball in play, and especially letting Acuna and Albies and Swanson and Ozuna and some of those guys get on base that we know can run around. So it'll be a fascinating three-game set. Starting tomorrow. Noontime start tomorrow. So if you like day baseball, you're going to get plenty of it. 8 playoff games tomorrow. 8. And don't forget, it's 3 consecutive games in a row for the Braves. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 3 straight, back to back to back. And we'll have Gabe Burns on tomorrow night after the game. He'll join us at 7:20, so we'll get instant reaction and give you the good, the bad, the ugly. Hopefully it's just all good. Hopefully, we don't have to worry about any bad or ugly. Just go out there and give me some good. Go out there tomorrow and win 5-1, and let's just get this series over. Honestly, I just want to get this series over. Go win your 2 games back-to-back and just be done. Let's move on to the next series. All right, speaking of moving on, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, not last night, which was Baltimore and Kansas City, right, on the Monday Night Football game. Go back 1 week ago to the Saints and the Raiders football game. There was a situation where the Raiders safety, Jonathan Abram, ended up crashing into one of those stupid ESPN camera carts. So remember the cart that Booger used to ride up and down the sidelines on? One of those camera carts, okay? For some reason, ESPN got that thing close to where the field of play was, and the safety for the Raiders, and this thing was pretty close as they were down toward the end zone, the safety for the Raiders crashes into it as he was trying to take care of Alvin Kamara and knock him out of bounds and everything like that. Now, he laid motionless on the ground after he hit the thing. And people were like, okay, why is ESPN got this cart this close? This makes no sense. Now, of course, their response was no response. Even though they were asked about it, they had no response. Now, at the time, Abram ended up, he got up, and after laying motionless there, he got up, all right, and went over to the sidelines, and he did come back into the game, okay? So, it looked like ESPN had dodged a bullet in all this, right? It turns out, though, now, according to Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, Abram suffered a grade 2 AC joint sprain and had a small piece of his collarbone chipped. The collarbone chip led to internal bleeding. I mean, it ain't going to be the pandemic that kills anybody. It's going to be the damn ESPN cart. Now, Pelissero and Rappaport reached out, both of them, to ESPN. As of now, they say the NFL and ESPN are discussing what to do about carts in the future. I can tell you what to do with the cart. Take it to the damn dump. Put it in one of those, you know, things that crushes up the cars into like a little box cube and be done with it. Why would anybody think that it's a good idea for this hunk of equipment to be close by to where guys can go out on the sideline and run into this thing? And ESPN says, well, technically the cart and the operator were where they're supposed to be. Great. Tell that to Abram with his chipped collarbone and internal bleeding so that you can get your perfect shot, Scooter. I understand wanting the technology. I understand wanting the 6,000 camera angles. But I always laugh when I hear about how do we make things safer and this, that, and the other. Explain to me why we ever need one of those stupid cars. I mean, everybody got mad at Booger and didn't want him on the cart and thought it was stupid. Okay? So if we already don't like the concept of it and having an announcer on it, which was a ripoff of, who was the booth? McGuire and Theismann and who was the play-by-play guy? Remember McGuire would go on the cart with Theismann and those guys? Again, we're back to, we got to gimmick everything that we do, right? The cart and the cameraman are now Doink the Clown, Fake Razor, Dumpster Duke Droze, the Professor. They, you know, it's become another gimmick. And much like wrestling, when things don't go well, i.e. Owen Hart's pile driver on Stone Cold Steve Austin that basically ended the long-term wrestling career of Austin in a freak accident, here's a guy with a chipped collarbone, internal bleeding, and a grade 2 AC sprain so that we can make sure we get the right camera angle. There's barely any damn fans in the stands. Can't you have a guy with a camera in the first row? Oh, and that's what's bugging Chuckery. All right, when we get back, it will be time for our Falcons flyover. We'll talk about the latest depth chart for the Falcons and listen to what Bleeding Ray Wilson had to say after getting his start this past Sunday. It's all next. Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.